Well, we're excited just to be here today and worship in spirit and truth together. And, you know, I was so excited this morning just to watch the praise and worship team up here. And you could just see the spirit in them and feel that. And it got me thinking how we can go to ball games and we can just yell and scream and act like fools that we are and get excited. And that we come into church and sometimes we get quiet. You know, Christ died on the cross for each of us. And my brother here, you could just see the spirit in him. And that's how we should be when we come in and give worship and praise to our Savior today. And that's why we're here, our family. We're excited to be here, but it's not about us. See, when we leave today, my prayer is you forget about us, but you just see the Savior. You see what Christ has called us to do and that what he may be calling you to do as well. So our family, we've been with OMS for 7 years now. We've traveled all over the world and all over the United States several times, and God is doing a great work. God's doing a great work. But what I want you guys to be challenged and encouraged with today is right outside those doors, that's our mission field. That's your mission field. And there's going to be people you'll meet tomorrow and throughout the week that others won't meet. And they won't hear about Jesus unless you ask these four simple words. Do you know Jesus? See, we're all missionaries, every one of us. And it's that simple. We just have to have a little faith and a little boldness to ask that question. Do you know Jesus today? I want to ask that to everyone today and put that on your hearts today. Before we share, and I got a little message the Lord's given me, and it was really neat. I was talking to Julie through the week, and she said, well, do you know what scripture we're going to be preaching? And I give her that, and she said, oh my goodness, that's where we were last week. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, when something continually comes up and God keeps bringing certain scriptures in front of us, we got to pay attention. God's trying to show us something. God's wanting us to do something Amen. With that. And so today I just pray all this would be an encouragement to you. And I pray that most of all, if someone's sitting here among us that don't know Christ, that maybe someone's never asked you, do you know Jesus? That today would be the day. The scripture tells us today is the appointed day. Today is the day of salvation. Friends, none of us know what tomorrow will bring. One of us may not even make it home from here today. That's just the reality of life. But today is the day of salvation. My wife, Teresa, she's going to sing and a little bit for us, a couple songs, then I'll come back up and give the message. So, Teresa.
Good morning. I just want to say Carl and I will be married 25 years come July. And you know, that's only by God's grace, and I am so thankful for that. The Lord has been very good to us. And like Carl said, we don't want you to remember us. We want you to remember the Lord. And everybody has their own testimony. 10 years ago, I told my husband I'd never leave the country. And by God's grace, I was able to go live in Haiti for 9 months with my boys. So God can do amazing things if you're willing. I just hope and pray that these songs will bless you as you think about your relationship with the Lord and what he's wanting you to do. The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is all to do. When you feel sometimes, you know, you get on the road and you're like, I know I need to do something, but I'm not sure what. Sometimes we just got to get out of our comfort zone and let God use us. And it's hard. I'll be the first to tell you, it's very hard to get out of your comfort zone. But I am so thankful that I did. And I am so thankful that God is able to use me. And anybody that knows Jesus today, he's able to use. I just pray that this will bless you. It's been so personal to me. It's called Until He Was All That I Had. The storm they were facing was fearful. Their ship seemed so small in the waves, and the wind just kept blowing harder, and yet they were still all so safe. From out of the dark he came walking. He had never lost them from view. He can see through the darkest of trials. He just wanted them to see it too. You'll never be filled till you're empty. Until you're broken, you'll never be whole. Until the potter has tried your vessel with fire, you'll never come forth as pure gold. I didn't know how much he loved me until I passed through the storm and looked back. I didn't know Jesus was all that. Until I passed through the storm and the fire, who's been so good to me and my family church. I thank you for his blessings. I just want to mention to you today that we have a table full of things, and you're more than welcome to pick anything up that you'd like. As long as you know the Lord, he will use you, as long as you're obedient.
Well, like I say, it's been a good place to be already today, and the Lord tells us in his word where two or three would gather in his name, he would be here in the midst. I felt the Spirit just in the parking lot before we even got in the doors, and it was a welcoming smile, someone willing to help, and that's what we need to be. We just need to be that smile to someone and that encouragement. And then it went on into Sunday school, and we learned about Paul and that love of a father. Ain't it good today to know that Jesus loves us? You know, he loves us today. And it's even further than that. He likes us. I find great hope in that God likes us. He loves us, but he likes us. You know, I think of families, and just speaking on love for a moment, and that love is a challenging thing for many of us. And I'm going to really hit on that in this little verse of scriptures. But God likes us. In our families, we just naturally love our family members. We don't always agree with everything they're doing, but it's instilled in us that we still love them. But when you can say, I like you, I like that person, because see, when we like someone, we want to spend time with them. We want to get to know them. We want to get into their lives and get personal with someone you really like. So it's even greater if you think about it at that moment. When you can begin to like someone, God likes us. God wants to spend time with us. Little me. Out of all the world and all the people, God wants to spend time with you, because he likes you and he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his son, his only begotten, to die on the cross for each of us. See, as missionaries, wherever we go, and we just happen to have passports and being called to go over the seas, and wherever we go, that is the message we hope people see within us, is the same love of Christ. The same love that Paul showed to the churches. That fatherly love. That one that lifts up the one that's down. We all face many trials, each of us. Some of us came into the doors today with heavy hearts and burdens that sometimes seem hard to bear. But the love of your brothers and sisters praying, and there's that word again, love, love, love. Let me go on into the scripture, and I know you guys just heard about it last week, but I believe the Lord today will... I wasn't here last week, and I didn't know you guys were going to teach on that last week, but God already had all this worked out, just like this. His plans are perfect. He knew months ago and a year ago that the Pointers would stand here today. Last Sunday, I was in Pittman, Pennsylvania, and it was a totally different message and a different crowd, and God had that planned out too, and this is for glory of God today. Everything we've done here today in his presence, from the singing to the worship to the prayer, that's for our Savior. That's not for us. It's for his glory. So I'm excited to see how God will use this message, the same message, and make it new today for you and for me again. I'm going to be in John chapter 21, and I'm going to start down in verse 15 today. Now, I'm in a King James Version, and that's okay. So mine may read a little different from yours. There's many different versions, but you're going to grasp the same meaning through this. Let us pray before we open this up. Dear Heavenly, kind, and gracious Father, Lord, we just come to you, Father, in a spirit of thanksgiving and worship to you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for showing up in our midst today, Father. Lord, I want to thank you for each one that's here, each home that's represented, Father. I pray a special blessing for them. And Lord, that we would leave here a little different than we walked in. That we wouldn't be just hearers of your word, but we would also be doers, Father. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done in our lives. And Lord, how you've loved us and liked us, Lord, so much that you would just send your son Jesus for each and every one, Father. We love you, Lord God, and we just commit this entire service to you and your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So in verse 15, Just to set the stage at this time, and we're getting very close to this time. We're at Easter. We're at the resurrection point. We're coming in. I loved this morning, starting off in communion, and what a spirit. We are in Easter. We know Christ is alive. Christ went. He is sitting today alive at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And you know what's greater than that? He's sitting there to make intercessions for you and for me. Why? Just as the brother shared in devotion, we make a mess of things. I mess up a lot of stuff. If Carl has his way and his will, it's probably going to end up in a train wreck. But when God's in our midst, and I can just hear Him saying to the Father, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them again, Lord. And Lord, I love them. I died for them, as He makes His intercessions to God. Because we're all just sinners saved by grace of Jesus Christ. And we know in John 14:6, and I think today it's something we each have to have that hidden in our hearts, because we see on TV, we watch the world, and they want us to believe there are many ways to heaven. But we all know sitting here today as believers in Christ, as John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come unto the Father but by me. There's one way today, friends, and the world's not going to get you there, and we can't get a plane ticket there, and we can't work ourselves to heaven. We can't do many great things, and there'll be many good people, but we got to know Christ. We got to be born again, and I'm excited today for this special resurrection time that we find ourselves in. And so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Can you imagine? Peter just denied Christ, and we all know the story, and he denied him 3 times. Can you imagine the heartache these words must have felt as a father sharing to his son? Let's just take it in that context for a moment. And Simon answered, he says, and to him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, Jesus. Saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest, whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. This spoke him, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. See, I think this is one of the greatest love letters written in the Bible. And what I mean by that is Jesus knew the heart of Peter. Yes, Peter, that's what grieved him. He's sitting there going, Lord, you're asking me the same question over and over. Is it because I just denied you? But what God was taking, he was taking him to a more intimate level. And I can go back to when I was a child. And here we go again. I love it when the message that I'm going to give is confirmed in Sunday school this morning. But I remember my dad, I would mess up as a kid, and I was ornery. I would get into things I knew better. And I'd come to dad, and you know, when dad's standing with the paddle in his hand, and I'm looking at him, and I say, Dad, I love you. You know, that paddle's getting bigger as I'm walking closer. And I say, Dad, I love you. And my dad's words to me was, son, if you love me, show me you love me. Show me you love me. See, I believe that's what Jesus was trying to get through Peter's head was, Peter, I'm getting ready to ascend. I'm going to leave you now. I just died for all the people. I'm leaving this now in your hands. It's your turn. You have to feed the sheep. See, Peter, you just can't tell me by lip service. Many times, I'm afraid we use a lot of lip service. See, it's easy just to walk up to your family again, as I shared a moment ago, and hug them, and I love you. We throw that around, but that's a word that's got to be put into action. And I think that's why that word scares us so much. And I'm a man, so I can only speak for a man, but I think us men struggle with that word many times. Just to tell another one, we love you. We love you. See, I think it's that masculine side, and it don't mean anything if it's just lip service. Put it into action. How do you love me? You got to show me you love me. See, Jesus left a great responsibility to Peter, but he also left this to us as the generations has passed by. We have that same duty. And he started off, he said, Peter, if you love me, feed the lambs. There's some farmers sitting here in the room. I've been around the farm my whole life. And there's something about lambs and small farm animals that when they're born, they don't have any teeth. Jesus was speaking of the young ones. Not just children, but those that are going to be young in Christ. Those who cannot tolerate yet the meat need to be on the bottle. Jesus died for us. Have you ever sat by a hospital bed of a loved one who's passing on? What do? They share some of the most intimate things in their heart at that very moment. Please tell so-and-so this. And if you would, take care of my dogs for me. Tell mom I love her one more time. I sat by my brother's bed and he didn't have a family. He was 36 years old, dying of a heart condition. He had many requests, things that he wanted us to fulfill after he left us. And I pray we've done the best we could to honor him in that way. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. Peter, I'm leaving. I'm going to give you the most intimate things, the things that are on my heart. Christ just died on the cross for us. Think about this. He's getting ready to ascend, but we're still his most greatest love of his life. And he wanted to make sure Peter understood this. Peter, you have a job to do. Feed my lambs. Now, are we talking about we're going to go feed the lambs with that bottle? And maybe. But Jesus meant that deeper. Share my word. Share why I came to the world, Peter. Tell them about me. Tell them about me. Then he went on further a second time, and I can only imagine Peter's mind. Here, Peter loved Jesus. Jesus knew this. But can you imagine when someone's starting to question you over and over? I mean, that makes us all get uncomfortable. I worked in construction 18 years and built commercial buildings. And boy, when my boss would come down on me and when he started asking me that same thing over and over about something maybe I messed up or forgot, I knew I was in trouble. I was getting a whipping. Sometimes we got to take a spiritual whipping too. Even though this was grieving Peter's heart, I think Jesus was getting to his mind. If you love me, you're going to do these things, Peter, when I leave. If you love me, feed those lambs. Peter, if you love me, feed those sheep. And he said it to him a third time, just to really get it into his mind, but more into his heart. Peter, if you love me, you got to do this. And you got to continue this. And you got to share this. See, I believe today we're still held under that same exact obligation. I believe if Jesus was here today, he'd say, Matt, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Les, do you love me? Feed those lambs, Les. Because Jesus loves each and every one the same. He said he was no respecter of persons. See, we have a job to do. We have to go out into the world. Acts 1:8 says we have a Jerusalem, a Judea, a Samaria, and the uttermost parts. We look at that many times, we say, well, I don't have a passport, I can't go, I don't like to fly, I can't go over there. And that's okay. Your uttermost parts of the earth may be 30 miles down this road. For the Pointer family this week, right here is our uttermost part for this week and this time. We're 2.5 hours away from home, but this is our uttermost parts of the earth right now. And on our way home, we'll fall back into our Samaria and our Judea, and then we'll be back home in our Jerusalem. See, your Jerusalem is your household and your neighbors all around you. But God give everyone sitting here today your first ministry, and that was your family. We have to minister to our families. Then we have to move out to our neighbors. And then a little further into our Judea, and then our Samaria. And if God calls you to the uttermost parts, I'll be in Japan in a few weeks, and I was with a brother, and we were talking about this trip. I said, boy, looking at this globe, now I can say I've actually went to the uttermost parts. And that's when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, and this was over in Pittman, he said, you're in your uttermost part right now. Don't worry about what's going to happen in a month. I've sent you here today for a purpose, a plan.
to share the same love. Because I give you the same command, Carl, as I gave Peter that day. Go feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep. And it's as simple as saying to that neighbor next door when you're over talking to him in the yard, how simple is it? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? See, we have to first be burdened for the lost. We have to have a compassion. We shouldn't want to have a desire to see anyone go to hell. And we should have that. It's so simple. Do you know Jesus? Share that love of Christ. Put that word of love, not just to say, oh, by the way, I love you. Put it into action in front of them. How do we do that? Let your light shine. We are light and we're the salt of the earth. Let your light shine today to your neighbor. Maybe to that stranger at Walmart. I use Walmart because if we're not in church, we're probably at Walmart somewhere today. There's a Walmart on every corner. That's one thing we found as we've traveled all over the United States. We can always find a McDonald's and a Walmart. Anywhere you go. And I told my wife one time, I said, Walmart could be your biggest mission field. Maybe that is your Judea or your Jerusalem. Because there's people up and down there that you bump into and you can talk to anyone. It just takes a little faith. A little faith. So today, the mission message today, first of all, do you know Jesus today? Do not leave here not knowing Jesus. God has brought you here. You must be drawn by Him, by His Spirit. But He's here today. And He's here for you. He woke you up. He lifted you out of bed for today, for Sunday, March 26th. We'll never be gathered probably again just like this. But God has a plan, and His plans are perfect. And then when we leave here, it's our duty to take that gospel message to the one that doesn't know. We did a Bible study one time in a men's group, and it was, do you love your neighbor? And they went around. Each one of us, yeah, I love my neighbor. We love our neighbor. Okay, the next question was, what's your neighbor's name on the right side of your house and the left side of your house? I think there was 2 out of 7 in that group that could answer that. 2. Then the next thing was, which penetrated all of our hearts, do you love your neighbor? You're okay, you've lived there 20 years, that you're okay that you've never presented Jesus to him. You love him? That hit me hard. I'm going to tell you, friends, I probably feel the worst in my Jerusalem. See, I've been called to other places, but I probably fail in my Jerusalem. Why? Because that seems to be our most intimidating area to share the gospel to our own friends, our own family, and it takes a little more boldness, maybe. But that's our mission field, and that's where it begins. So today, as you go out, don't get caught up with passports and uttermost parts, and just whoever you're with, that is your ministry. Love them. Love them all the way to the kingdom. They're going to look at you. They're going to say, something's different. I want some of that. There's so much anger. It breaks my heart. Turn on the TV for 5 minutes and flip through a few news channels. There's so much anger and violence going on in our world. And this world needs love. This world needs love that we can put into action. Show them you love them. Don't just tell them. Today we're going to be sharing some pictures and things about what God's been doing in our lives over the past 7 years. And I pray it's a blessing to you. This altar is always open. This altar is open. This altar was put here for you, for me. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. I'm thankful today that we have an altar. I'm thankful today that we have a church that will worship in spirit and truth. And you know what? We may look a little peculiar to the world. On the day of Pentecost, they were accused. They're drunk. No, we're worshiping in the spirit today. And we should be able to shout and act a little crazy for God and throw our hands up and true praise Him, true worship. And, you know, I read that we're a peculiar people. But then I read over in 1 Peter, yeah, I believe it's 2:98, he says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You think about this. He didn't call us His servants. He called us His friends. He called us His friends because He loves us.
because he likes us and because he wants to spend time with us. I believe the Lord's been in our midst this morning. I can feel his presence because he wanted to be with us this morning. But see, he's not a type of God who's going to use a crowbar to get into your door, to get into your personal life, because we have a spirit of free will. He said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. See, we have to take that first step. We have to draw closer. How do we get closer? Through that communion, through reading, studying of his word, gathering with other believers. We all need encouragement. There's days I'm so low that if it wasn't for a brother coming along just saying, hey, what's going on? How are you? I don't know where I'd be many times. I'm thankful when a brother or sister come up that loves me enough to put that in action. Hey, can I take you out to lunch? Can I come over and can I help you out, help carry that load a little bit? Is there something I could do? See, they're no longer just saying, Carl, I love you. They're saying, Carl, I want to show you. I love you. Let's be that way to each other. Let's quit tearing each other down. Lift each other up. Lift each other up. Thank you, guys. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for, I know there's people in Burlington's been on teams with Men for Missions, and this has been the greatest 7 years of our lives. It's not been the easiest always, but it's been the greatest. As we've traveled the worlds, and I do a lot of work teams. I'm just a wrench turner. I'm just a wrench turner by trade. My hands constantly are greasy and dirty, and I like that kind of stuff. I find enjoyment stepping back and admiring something we built or did. But I tell my teams, the first thing at our evening service before we go out building homes and churches and these things in these countries, I said, the greatest thing, guys, that we can share is Christ while we're here. Yeah, we got a mission. We got a house to build. God will let us get done what we need to get done on that. But I said, that's temporal. Whatever we build with these hands, the best thing we can build is temporal, friends. But when we share that love of Christ and we lead someone to the kingdom, now God's allowed you to be part of something eternal. That's what excites me to see. Just ordinary men and women, wrench turners like me, willing to go out and be a servant. Be a foot washer. Be a foot washer. Just so people can find out who Jesus is. That's the greatest part. Well, we're going to start these slides and try to get through these. Some of them we'll go through kind of probably just a little quickly for sake of time. And today as you look at this, ask God, pray right now. Ask God what he may be calling you to do. Maybe it is overseas. Maybe you're sitting here with a passport or maybe you'll get one. Just see where God wants you, wants to use you. Men for Missions, as Verlton said, it's a ministry of OMS, One Mission Society. It's our short-term arm. It's where we take teams out all over the world, usually 1-2 week trips. And I know some of the women are looking at us going, wow, Men for Missions. So I can't go. This is already cancels me out. No. In fact, Dr. Dwight Ferguson, 62 years ago, who was on a mission field, and he looks around and it's all women. Well, another mission trip, it's all women. He goes back to churches and it's mostly, now this is 62 years ago. Things were a little different. Back then, the men all worked. Ladies more stayed home. But he gets in his own church house. It's mostly women doing all the work in church, and he had a burden in his heart right then and there, God put in there, where are the men? If we're to be spiritual leaders of our households, why aren't the men doing their part? So Men for Missions is not about the exclusion of women, but in fact the inclusion of men. We got to get men included. So ladies, you're not out of it. You can go on these teams, and my wife goes on many. We've had kids from 8 to adults to 86 on these teams with us. So God's got something for each of us. We can go to the next slide, Julie. Our family, as Teresa mentioned, 9 months ago, we moved to Haiti, and we've been building homes. I'd made over 30 trips into Haiti since the earthquake. The earthquake was 2010 in January, so we're now a little over 7 years into the project. We started out building homes for people who own their own land, and these were people who were devastated, lost everything. Homes in Haiti are shacks, tin roofs, some of them thatched roofs. Some of them just little tents, 8, 10, 12 people living in them. So
So we wanted to build something good, concrete floors, foundation footers, engineered here in the U.S., but built in Haiti. We wanted to do our best as we were doing under Christ. So we built 54 homes, then we came into a piece of land in Bon Repos. Bon Repos in Creole means good rest, and I thought that was so fitting that we're going to build a community and a church where there was no church in an area called Good Rest. God had that planned out as well. So we just moved to Haiti in August 2015, and we've got many homes already built on this property. We're building a total of 36 at this time. There were six left to build as well, and we're breaking ground for the church. Now, the neatest thing I loved about this church, as our engineers drew it up, it was going to be in the shape of a cross. And I thought, wow, how fitting is that? And then we found out later that right where we're building this church, it was a sugar cane field. And in Haiti, they worship Satan. They give their country to Satan 200 years ago. And they were doing voodoo sacrifice, human sacrifices, right on this property where we're now building a church. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, when you step out for God, and Satan don't like that. Our family, we went through a few trials getting there once we were there. But you know what? Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And we built the church. But it's a cross. And now you can see that cross coming out of the ground. It was all hand dug in 100 degree weather with picks and axes from the Haitian guys we work with. So I would get up on top of a container every day that we kept our tools in. And I'd take pictures every day. And it was so neat just watching this cross come out of a ground, a dirt, a soil that once was used for wickedness, for God's glory. This was when we set our first truss. Give you an idea on the size and how large this is. On a 3.18 acre property, we have 36 homes, 16 toilets, 3 wells, a children's playground, many things. This church is 80 feet long and 30 feet wide, and then in the cross section it's another 80 feet and 30 feet wide. So a huge church in an area that didn't have a church. So we started building, and everything you see here is all manual hard labor. There's no heavy equipment, even setting the trusses. And there happened to be 66 that was not engineered by us. And I even called our engineer, and I said, Ken, how many trusses did you design this for? He's an engineer through and through. He says, 60 some. Is there a problem? No, Ken. How many exact? Do you know the exact number? No. So you didn't put any thought to that. No, why? There's 66 trusses. Well, there's 66 books in the Bible. So I just believe God had his way in these things, and we're going to go back and write all the Bible, the books of the Bible in each truss. That's our plan. So through this, we're at the stage here where we're putting on the metal roof. We sheeted it. You never see construction like this in Haiti. They thought we was crazy because we actually sheeted it. 196 sheets of plywood went down first, but again, we wanted to build something that'll last. As I talked to Gabrielle, he's one of the Haitian workers, the boss. I said, Gabrielle, I want to sit here with you one day with our grandkids, and I want to worship in this church. And the only way that's going to happen is if we do our very best, and we build the very best. And that's what we did. This ministry was a very family-involved ministry. Our children, my wife homeschools. So, but one day a week, every week, we talked about this before we moved to Haiti and how important it would be that we minister to the people together, because God called us as a family to do this. But we also had 24 teams and 240, 250 people come down to help with this church over that 9-month period. But to see our boys out working, loving on the Haitian people, that just brought it together. There were many days I sat on the roof and would watch one of my boys do something, and just have a tear stream down my eye thinking, wow, they get this, you know, they're part of this. And it can do that for your families as well. I've seen so many families when they're there just have a different bond when they leave, just something special about them. So May 15th, 9 months in, and we had a bridge that we traveled across every day with our teams, twice a day. Before we ever turned the ignition over, we had prayer in that before we got in the truck, and this day was different. We went across the bridge, got back to where we stayed, had dinner, and found out that bridge we just drove across collapsed. they were still in bolts out of the bridge, and so it had been weakened probably months before this. And we're traveling across it, but it had too much weight this day, and trucks went over, people were killed, and these were the trials God put before us. Now, at that point in time, we had about a month to go, and we were way behind in schedule, and I've got people, 54 people coming in for the celebration. And now our 1.5-hour drive, which is only 7 miles each way, turned into a 3-hour drive in Haiti each way. So it slowed us down even further, but God's, you know, I just believe this. If we do our part, God will do the heavy lifting. Many things look impossible to us, but through Christ, all things are possible. And we've just seen him show up in a great way. Go to the next one. This was what we pulled in that morning for the celebration. There was probably, at this time, 300-400 people already gathered, waiting on us to get there and to have the ceremony. We did ribbon cuttings. We can go to the next slide. And did a ribbon cutting. At this point, I remember looking out at this crowd, and there's probably 1,200 people standing there. And I'm thinking, boy, we cut this ribbon, open this door, we may get squashed. So there, you could feel the energy. Now, here we are. You're in the middle of the poorest of the poor that have no church. These people have nothing, but they have faith, and they came to worship, and you could just feel that energy. We can go to the next slide. Maybe the next one even. This is just the church filled up instantly. But their hunger, their drive was so different. I think we can learn so much from the Haitian people. Those who could not get in, and there was 500-600 in the church, the people sat along the windows and the porch just to hear the message, to hear the worship, just so they could be in the hearing distance. I thought, boy, we visit so many churches, and even in our own, and there's always room for more, but not in Haiti. That they came, they filled the church, and they worshiped, and they were excited about their church. This is another, just something that's really special. There was a cross that we put in on the back of the wall. So that was engineered in. So we had two crosses, the shape of the church and then the cross on the back wall. Well, when the guys finished the aisles to the doorways and the cross to the side, there's another cross that's on the floor. And I said, well, now we have three crosses, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And we've got 66 trusses over our head. I said, God is the master builder. God engineered this. It wasn't us doing work. God was doing things, just showing off. We'll just say he was showing off in our presence. And I love it when God does that. So this is the outside structure. We've now went back and with teams painted it all. That's just another side view. That's the children's playground that was donated. And we assembled it as well while we lived there and built the last six homes. And it was funny when I seen the playground show up and I'm looking at it. I called our offices in Indiana and I said, Bill, I know you sent me down here to build a church. I said, but I think I'm going to be spending about 6 months on the playground. As this thing was huge, no instructions, just a few pictures. And so, yeah, it was interesting. But we, by God's grace, we got it all accomplished. And this here happened to be another little funny thing that happened. We were living in Haiti and there's just certain things. Verlt and I was sharing before church. There's just certain things you can do in these other countries that you can never do here. And I didn't expect this that morning. I'm going to fly over and I'm waiting. And it's just going to be a little 3-seat airplane. I was a little nervous. Sorry about that. And I'd seen the plane and it looked kind of rough. And they said, hey, I know it's taking us a little bit, but we'll be right with you. We're just taking the doors off the airplane right now. And you're the photographer, right? And I said, well, I'm kind of backing up. I'm not really a photographer. You know, I'm a preacher. I'm in this, but I'm not really. Well, you're taking pictures, right? Yeah, I'm taking pictures. Well, we're pulling the door off for you so you can get really good ones. Okay? I begin to pray, you know, really hard then. And then the pilot becomes a comedian. We get on the runway. I'm sitting here, I mean, literally that far off the runway. The wheels look more like donuts. And I'm looking at these little tires and wheels, and I'm a mechanic, so I'm looking at all these mechanical things, and that's just how our minds work. And he makes the joke of, well, there's the fire extinguisher, I just got to go over these safety things, and he looks at me and says, and you know where the nearest exit is, right? If you, that's not what you want to hear at that moment.
But it was missionary flights, our great Christian crew, and we prayed, and God brought us down. We did this 3 times. So flying over at 1,500 feet, hanging out with a camera, just holding on by a seatbelt, and the prayers that I was sending up to God at that time. It was really a neat experience, and that's the property. 36 homes, 3 acres, and it's changed the lives for so many people. And these homes have 8 to 10 people in them, and they're only 16 by 25s, but they're mansions for the people of Haiti. But as I said in the beginning, it's more than that. It's sharing the gospel message. We do a lot of handing out Bible tracts and Bibles and sharing the gospel wherever we go. I get a lot of opportunities throughout Haiti to preach and learning more and more of the language. It makes it easier. But we've just seen many people come to know Christ through these ministries. We were doing some Bible. This was just a few weeks ago when I was there. We did some Bible distribution for some of the new believers. Again, we're handing out Bibles in front of the Bon Repos community so that the people have the tools to be able to disciple and grow the church. This was kind of a neat story. I just want to share for God's glory again. We were supposed to go to Bon Repos this day, and we got turned around. We couldn't get there. Ended up in an area, and this guy immediately comes up to me, and he says, "I can't be saved. I would love to know Jesus, but I can't be saved because I used to kill people for a leader of this country. Many people I killed." And I shared so many scriptures with him, and I finally just walked him down the road to Damascus and told him about a man named Saul and his conversion to Paul, and he began to weep and fell to his knees, and he accepted Christ that day. And I love it when our plans didn't work out because God would show up. You know, we get discouraged sometimes, but then God would show up when our plans didn't work out. So this was a great day. There's just some of the people and families that we love in Haiti and we minister to, and over these 6-7 years, we've really grown to love these people. And some of our boys, this little girl named Giovanni, and really hard life for the people there, and our kids love them too. And these are their friends. So this was at Christmas. We went down to share the love of Christmas, Christ at Christmas, and the kids hadn't been there since we left in May, so all their buddies, boy, we showed up and they come and found them really quick. The other piece that we have a big part in right now is taking teams to Colombia to go door to door to do evangelism. And we just share our testimony at the door. Then we share the gospel message using a cube that we have on the table. Please pick that up, ask questions. We'll show you how to use it. But our testimony, and Revelation is, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We've each got a testimony, and I think how precious that is that God will put our testimony right next to the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome, to share your testimony with someone. This trip here in October of last year, 7 of us went, and we ended up in 4 days of evangelism. We had 610 decisions for Christ. And when we leave, they disciple them. They have about an 80-85% retention rate to keep those people in church. This is a country, it's 86% Roman Catholic. So a great opposition is always around you through that. And then we train the churches also while we're there. We equip them, we train them, disciple them, and then we leave them the tools as well. We leave them those cubes, and because we want it to continue. We don't want to just go in and fish for them. We want to teach them to fish. And I always tell our teams, I'm more excited about what will happen when we leave, not while we're there. So it's really been a great effort. And again, Bible distribution is so important. This guy, that morning, led him to the Lord in his little workshop. And I hand him a Bible, and you thought I'd give him a check for $1 million. You know, this is more valuable than anything we can give someone. He said, I think he was 62, he said, I've never had my own Bible. I've never had my own Bible. I've always wanted one, but I've never had one. I had a Catholic one, but I've got my own Bible now, and he just was so excited over that. So the work still continues. We're back to, I call it phase 3, but we're now back to building homes for people who have land but don't have a way to get a home. We just built 2. We can go to the next slide. This is literally what you see in Haiti to the right. That's how all of Haiti looks, or most of it, or grass huts.
but they're living like that, and this is what we're building and getting them out of that condition, some privacy, some peace, and a place of refuge. So they're really beautiful little homes. And if you go, you'd be part of that. And the families work alongside of us. At the end of the week, we do a dedication. This gentleman, his name was Missoula and Bertrice, and their children. They were living in a tarp, USA tarp in structure for 7 years now with that family and eight others. I said, where do you sleep? How do you sleep? He says, on that little cot. I said, well, that's for like two people. He said, we sleep in shifts. We take turns to sleep in there. So it's their turn to sleep, and then it's your turn. And 7 years of that. I love the tent camp, but I wouldn't want to be in that condition. So it was a great blessing. Then we close with them, and we pray over their home, and we lay hands on the people receiving the home. And it's always our heart and our desire that now there'll be that light, that lighthouse to the community around them, that God can change things. God can change their lives, and it brings so much hope to the other people. So this was just us in prayer. I just want to close, and when I say thank you, I mean it from my heart. If you guys would just take and commit to praying for us. You know, we got prayer cards back there. It's got our picture on it. And when you think of us, just pray for us. I tell people, put it on your refrigerator, and if nothing else, maybe it'll keep the mice out of your house. But no, put it up there and pray for us. That's where it all begins. The power of prayer is amazing. And I heard of the young man that got in a motorcycle accident, and he's busted C7 in his vertebrae. I'm a living proof. I just want to share in closing my testimony. I crushed vertebrae C4, 5, and 6 in my neck as a 16-year-old. I had a car fall on my body, crushed me, dragged me 30 feet down a driveway with my head lodged in the axle. I was working on it and didn't have it jacked up properly. When I was flown to the hospital, I was a mess, and my eyes wouldn't dilate. Nothing was working from my neck down. Doctor said, if you live, you're going to be a paraplegic. That's all there is to it. You see me today, and I'm going to tell you why. I had grandma and grandpa. I had people that loved me and was showing that love. And although I'd strayed away from God, I grew up in church in Awanas. I'm just sharing from my heart, friends. I had family who knew God could move. That's why I got these scars on my head, and they put me in a halo. And 7 days after that, I walked on these 2 feet out of that hospital. Sometimes what man tells us, hey, it can be grim. Doctors are great, and they've been given knowledge and wisdom, but God is the great physician and the grand doctor. I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're feeling a little discouraged. Maybe you've been given some results. I've had cancer and 47 radiation treatments. And surgery, and God, and doctor said you may not live. To glory of God, here I stand. That's why I want to live my life every day for the Lord and be about His business, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's why I'm staying here today, is maybe to introduce someone to Christ. So today I just want to have the elders come on up, and we're just going to pray. And if you need to come, maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe God's calling you to a mission field. Maybe it's in your own backyard, or maybe it's far away. Maybe you just need to come and pray and give it over. Give these things to God. We'll pray with you. We want to pray with you. Maybe no one's ever asked you that so such important question. Do you know Jesus today? If you don't, today's right here. Today's the day of salvation. Would you come? Thank you, guys. Make
my good neighbor, just dirty rags and tears and stains to cover all my guilty shame that you've already washed away.
Gotten through to us the message that our mission field is right outside the door. And we don't have to go anywhere to serve anymore. So we ask you, Father, that through this day of fellowship that our friendship will grow. Lord, that we'll be able to be the church that you've called us to be. Making disciples who will make other disciples who will follow you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love is good.
boys and girls.
You should have done it. That messed you up. Yeah. You didn't wait for that, that's not there.
I have on drums.
Yeah, I was like, do I sing it? Well, that's what I told her. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hop on drums.
Without the drums, it throws me off. And so I was like,
you've been
trying to hear it in my head.
When you're doing good, the things come against you.
I've been leaping hurdles. That's what's up. Been leaping hurdles. Yeah. Yeah. For that. I still got my running shoes on, if nothing else. I still
right.
Got them on. Yeah, so you have some.
Thank you.